In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Well, why on earth do we do it? That's what we're going to think about just for a few minutes now. If you've got a service sheet, that'd be really handy. We're going to look again at that passage that we had read out earlier. If you haven't got a service sheet and you're a bit short on them, you'll be able to find it in one of the church Bibles on page 1063. So you should have one of those in the seat in front of you if you haven't got a service sheet. Why don't I just pray for us and then we'll think about why on earth do we celebrate Christmas? Father God, we thank you for this time of year, a time where we meet with family and friends. Father God, thank you for the chance we have to meet tonight and to consider why it is that we celebrate Christmas. Father, pray that as we look at your word, the Bible, you would help us understand the true meaning of Christmas. Amen. Well, why do we do it? How would you answer our alien friend from the 11th planet? The hours of shopping, all the decorations that need to come down from the loft and then go up around the house, all the pine needles left over the floor, the huge dinner, the new socks you're going to get, the family arguments over lunch, the afternoon spent playing board games. And in the end, well, what's it all for? Why do we do it? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Or to put it another way, tea towels, tinsel and Toblerone, is Christmas really that exciting? You know, if Christmas is just that, if it's tea towels, tinsel and Toblerone, is it really that exciting? Why do we do it? The funny thing is, a lot of us do get excited about Christmas, don't we? There is something exciting about the tree going up and the decorations going on and the carols playing on the radio, the nicely wrapped presents, the crackers, the turkey. Even the classic present of socks is, in a funny way, entertaining at Christmas, isn't it? Even that useless present that we all make jokes about for the rest of the year. But why? Why is it exciting? Perhaps a lot of the reason rests with the fact that actually we just do it one day in the year. That actually we don't do it every day. It's just one day in 365. One day where we go nuts with tearing off wrapping paper and gorging ourselves on loads of food, seeing all the family and doing things that at no other time we do. Because actually, if we sung carols in July and if we wrapped up presents every weekend And if we had a huge dinner of such tremendous size every week, I can't help but think we'd grow tired of it in the end, wouldn't we? There is something exciting in doing things out of the ordinary, of doing things we don't usually do. And this got me thinking about Christmas presents, because what makes a good Christmas present? I think the best presents are the ones we wouldn't otherwise be able to get and enjoy. For instance, if you can't afford to buy an iPad, then if you get one for Christmas, that's really exciting, isn't it? Actually, if you can't afford to buy it usually and someone buys it for you, that's really exciting because you've got something you wouldn't otherwise be able to have. But if buying iPads all year round doesn't make you think twice, then you'd have to find something else, perhaps something more expensive or rarer, something else that would be as exciting. And this is why I think parents love homemade gifts. So guys, if you haven't got your parents anything yet, just go home, put something together, make it yourself. They'll love it all the more if you do it. Let me show you an example of this. This is a candle that I made for my mum years and years and years ago, when I was about three. I made this for my mum. I don't know how old I was. How old was I? About two or three. There you go. So when I was two or three, I made this candle for my mum. It's not a very good candle. It's not a real candle, obviously. It's not a groundbreaking new piece of contemporary modern art. It's not even that well made. On the way here in the car, I was worried I was going to break it. But I made it when I was very young. And so now every year it gets put out by my mum in the living room. Every year, go round and it'll be up on a shelf. I don't mention it and hope nobody else does. I'm worried it's going to fall over and break, but hopefully it'll stay up. I can't help but think that the reason that it gets put out every year is that actually she couldn't go out and buy this again. There's not a shop where you could go to buy it. In fact, it's absolutely one of a kind. I couldn't even make it again. I could make another candle, but it would be Alex, the 25-year-old, making a candle, not Alex, the 3-year-old, making a candle. And it wouldn't be quite the same. The present was precious then when I made it the first time, and it's even more precious now because we couldn't have it any other way. It's the same thing, and I'll show you another thing. It's the same thing with this painting that my wife did for me. This was an anniversary present, not a Christmas present. You can't really see it. It's basically lots of little paintings of different stuff we did in our first year of being married. And again, the reason it's so dear to me is because I can't go out to a shop and buy it. There isn't a Beth and Sharp shop where I can go and buy lots of nice things that she'll make for me. This is something she'd have to make to take the time to do and to give to me. Otherwise, I couldn't have it. And this idea that actually the most precious presents are the ones that we couldn't get ourselves any other way, I think this idea is at the heart of why Christmas is actually a very exciting time and actually something really worth celebrating. It's because, first of all, let's see if this works. Am I too far away? There we go. First of all, at Christmas, we discover something we couldn't possibly know by ourselves. At Christmas, we discover something we couldn't possibly know by ourselves. If you have a look back to our Bible reading and have a look down at the last verse, verse 18, it says this: no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So here we have what we couldn't possibly know. It's God. So actually, it's not we discover something, it's that we discover someone we couldn't possibly know. And it's the God who made us. This guy, John, that's writing this bit of the Bible, says that actually no one has ever seen God. We couldn't know God by ourselves. So no one could say by themselves in answer to the question, do you know God? Oh yeah, I know him. He lives a few doors down from me. Let me go and introduce you. No one could do that by themselves. So how can we discover anything about him? Well, go back to the first verse of our reading. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here we go, we've got the Word, whoever that is, he could help us out. He's been there all along from the beginning, and he's been there with God. So the Word knows God. But the Word, the Bible says, is God. So how can we know the Word? Have a look down at verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So here it starts to come together. The Word, God, became flesh, became human, became like you and me, and lived among us, made his dwelling among us. So now we're getting somewhere. This is how we can know God. Because he did this, the guy that wrote this bit of the Bible, a guy called John, says, we have seen his glory. So if you remember that first verse we looked at, it said no one had ever seen God. But with the Word becoming flesh, we see something of God. But there's more to it. Verse 14 continues. It says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. Now, that sounds familiar, the one and only, because we've already heard about it in verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So the Word, who we could also call God, the one and only, shows us God by becoming a human. That's what this bit of the Bible is telling us. The question is then, well, who was he? And that's where Christmas comes in, because it's Jesus. It's the man whose birth we celebrate every year on the 25th of December, even 2,000 years after he was born. And if you want to see it in the verses, compare verses 14 and 17. So I've already read out verse 14, but it says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 17 says, at the end, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So God, the one and only, is full of grace and truth, and grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. So Jesus is God made flesh, come down to earth. He shows us what God is like. So John's saying, Jesus is the one who came from the Father, who came from God. He's the one that was there from the very beginning, before the world was even made. Jesus is the one who's always been with God the Father, and who now, because he became a man almost 2,000 years ago, shows us who God is and what he's like. Jesus is God, made flesh, made human. And that is one amazing Christmas gift, because we couldn't possibly know God if God didn't come and show himself to us. You could put 1,000 philosophers in a room for 1,000 years, and without God, they couldn't tell you with any certainty what he was like. But if God comes and shows himself to us, because Jesus came, we can know, anyone can know what God is like. So if we want to know what God is like, if you want to know what God is like, and really isn't that something we'd all like to know? To know, you know, to know that there is a God and to know what he's like. Well, we can. We can know he's there. We can know what he's like. We look to Jesus. If we want to know what God thinks about our world and thinks about us, thinks about you and me, well, we can know that. We look to Jesus and see what he thought about those things. Do we want to know what God's plan is for us and for this world? Why are we here? Well, we can know that. We look to Jesus. He is God made flesh. He is the way we can discover something we couldn't possibly know by ourselves. Because Jesus came, when someone asks, do you know God? Christians can say, yes, let me introduce you to Jesus. And they can open up the Bible and show us what God has to say to us today. And that, when we realise it, is one huge reason to celebrate Christmas. Christmas is when we can discover someone we couldn't possibly know by ourselves, when we can discover the God who made us. This could be the Christmas where you decide to get to know the God who made you. This could be the year you decide to get to know him. But that's not all. There's one more thing I'd like us to think quickly about tonight. And that's this, because at Christmas, we don't just discover someone we couldn't possibly know, but we receive something we couldn't possibly earn. I'm sure that the time of 5:15 in the afternoon on Christmas Day is etched into your minds. Does anyone know why that might be? Lucy Robinson? Why is that time? It's the Doctor Who Christmas special, absolutely. there you go, you all know now. So 5:15 on Christmas Day, Doctor Who Christmas special. And last year in the Christmas special, it began with these words. I thought these were quite interesting, actually. It says, on every world, wherever people are, in the deepest part of winter, at the exact midpoint, everyone stops and turns and hugs as if to say, well done. Well done, everyone. We're halfway out of the dark. Back on Earth, we called this Christmas. And that's a nice thought, isn't it? That in the sort of deepest, darkest part, we turn to one another, we say, it's all right, we're halfway there, we're almost out of the dark now. The problem is, though, that actually the real darkness in our world doesn't end with winter, does it? Not in real life. Actually, the big problem we have, far beyond a few shorter days and colder nights, is that our world can actually be a really dark place. You know, we see violence and we see injustice and hunger and pain and selfishness and broken families and war and terrorism. And we see these things all the year round, all the time, not just in winter. You know, for instance, take it back a few years, the German invasion of Poland that kicked off the Second World War happened on September the 1st, 1939. And it continued for 6 years, regardless of what season it was. The July the 7th bombings happened in London in the middle of the summer. And we see families break down and we see people get hurt all the year round. Actually, the real darkness in our world isn't just in winter, it's all the time. And when we turn it on ourselves and our own hearts, we realise we're not just selfish in the depths of winter. Actually, we could be pretty selfish in the summer, the spring and the autumn too. We could all think back over things we've done, things we feel a sense of shame of in the past. And remember, actually, we don't just do those things in winter. We do them all the year round. So we'll quickly realise that the real darkness in our world and in each of us is a year-round problem. At Christmas, we're not halfway out the dark. We're still right in the middle of it, and there's no clear way out. And it's not just the actions people do. It's not the actions we do. It's the pain and hurt that's everywhere in the world. You know, think about it. Death doesn't have a season. It happens and can happen all year round. Pain, suffering, all these things happen. None of them have a season. They all happen all the year round. And because of all this darkness, the evil we do, the terrible consequences in the world, they create in us a sense that something isn't quite right, that something's wrong. We ask questions like, well, why me? Or why them? We hear of death, or we come face to face with it, and we think, that just isn't right. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong with our world. And the Bible agrees with that. The Bible says, actually, yeah, death does show us there's something's wrong with the world. Sorry, something's wrong with the world. Another verse in the Bible, Romans 7:13, has been cut off a little bit. It says this, it says, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandments, sin might become utterly sinful. That's a bit confusing, but in other words, the darkness in our world, and particularly death, demonstrates just how wrong our world is, that there's something wrong with it. It demonstrates just how bad the bad things are. And another, C.S. Lewis, who you might know, wrote the Narnia books, he said this. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a death world. There is something wrong with our world. Pain, death, all these things show us there's something wrong with our world. But you might be thinking, what does all this have to do with Christmas? Well, let's turn back to our passage. If we have a look at verse 4, it says, in him, that's Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. So Christmas is all about life and light coming into our dark world. And so at the first Christmas, into the darkness of our world, came Jesus, bringing light and life. He came to bring an answer to all that darkness. He comes to bring the offer of life. Jesus didn't just come to show us who God is and what he's like. He came to be God's rescue plan. God didn't make this world to be in the darkness it's in now, to be in the way it is now. And one day we'll all have to give an account of how we've lived and treated God and one another. And the terrible truth is that when we're honest with ourselves, we know we haven't treated God as we should and each other as we should. In fact, left to ourselves, we all turn away from God and would rather run things our way than let God be God. In our reading, we heard, if you want to have a look down at verse 10 again, he says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So here we have an example of this. Even when God became human and walked amongst us, we didn't recognize him. We didn't receive him as God. Even those people, his own people, as the reading says, those people who had the Old Testament, who had the promises about him, who were even waiting for this man to come to show them what God was like, even they did not recognize him for who he was or receive him as they should. And really, that's just an indication of the way we all treat God. None of us treat him as we should. None of us love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, as the Bible says we should. And that means that when God calls us to account for how we've lived, we'll find ourselves lacking. And that's not a comfortable thought, is it? To feel that actually God would find us lacking. But according to the Bible, it's a true one, so we do well to pay attention to it. And this is all part of the darkness of our world, a world that's in rebellion against God, a world of pain and hurt. But into this world, at that very first Christmas, Jesus came bringing light and life. Jesus came to bring life to a people who were really far from God, to bring life to everyone, to me and to you. He came to live amongst us, to call people to believe in him as the way to life, as the way to peace with God, as the way to eternal life in a world made perfect. Have a last look down at verse 12. It says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Jesus came that we might become the children of God. And if we're God's children, then we will share in what God gives to his one true son, Jesus. We can have eternal life just like he does. We can have a relationship with God the Father just like he does. Now, how Jesus does this, how he accomplishes this, is something we remember at Easter. So maybe you'll just have to come back in 3 months and find out then. But the most amazing thing about it is that he does it by dying for us. Just like how a debt needs to be paid, all the way we've treated God wrongly needs to be paid for. The problem is we can't pay it. The payment's too much for us to pay. The payment is death and God's judgment on us. We need someone greater than ourselves to pay it. We need God himself to pay that debt. And that's what we remember at Easter, and we also remember at Christmas, that God was born into our world to die for us. He came to die to save us, and so to give us something we couldn't possibly earn by ourselves. And that's another amazing reason to get excited about Christmas. We receive something we couldn't possibly earn any other way. Everything else about Christmas, everything else, the crackers, the wrapping paper, the trees, the light-up reindeer, the socks, the Brussels sprouts, they're all just kind of the wrapping paper of Christmas. And just like wrapping paper is pointless if there's no gift inside it, all these things really are pointless if we forget what the real meaning of Christmas is. If we don't remember what it meant that Jesus was born and that God was born into our world, if we forget that, we might as well ask, well, why do we do it? Why all this effort and energy for one day? But because Jesus came, we can know God. We can know God, we can know what he's like, and we can have the hope of eternal life if we trust and put our faith in Jesus. This means that at Christmas, our first thank you goes to God before anyone else. And that's not as always easy as you think. It's really easy to get distracted by all the other bits of Christmas, by the presents, by the food, by the decorations. We can get carried away with it and forget what we're really celebrating. It doesn't matter what anyone else has given you. It doesn't matter if your auntie's given you an iPad or your parents bought you a car. That's not a hint. Your first thank you goes to Jesus, because he's given us something that no one else possibly could. His gift is more precious than anything in the world. He shows us God and what he's like, because he is God become human. And his gift to us is life, that we might live forever with him if we put our faith in him. Let me pray as we finish. Father God, we thank you for this time to think about Christmas and to think about what happened 2,000 years ago when your only son Jesus was born into the world, God made flesh. Father God, thank you that through Jesus we can know you, and thank you that through Jesus we can have the hope of eternal life spent with you. Father God, pray you'd help each and every one of us to remember the true meaning of Christmas this year. Amen.